The number 200 is a three-digit number that falls between 199 and 201. The number 200, in general, symbolizes relationships and partnerships. It is a number of balance, harmony, and stability, as well as your divine soul's mission and purpose. Whatever the hell that means. 200 is the number of NASCAR Cup Series races won by Richard Petty. I am unaware of things all NASCAR. There's the Billboard 200 featuring the popular music of today. Steve Kerr became the fastest coach to win 200 games in the history of sports. And oh my God, welcome to episode 200 of the most LAFC podcast in the solar system. I am one half of this black and gold team that's got LAFC running through his bloodstreams. The once self-proclaimed toast of the East Coast and beast from the East, with my words now ever since I never wince, I now call myself the Gypsy Prince. My name is Christian Philly Philemon, and with me on this day, as he's been with me on this podcast every day, the biggest LAFC procurer of neck threads, the Chancellor of Cashmere, the Ambassador of Alpaca, the Lieutenant of Linen, the Sultan of Silks, the Prince of Polyester, and the Warlord of Wool. Hopefully you're noticing the pattern right here. I give you my man, J.R. Liebert,
the scarf. Apparently I have a thing for scarves. Yeah. Wow. I think my favorite was, did you say the Chancellor of what now?
Cashmere.
Of Cashmere.
Not the Ambassador of Alpaca?
All right. I gotta throw a little story out there.
Warlord of Wool. I thought that was pretty good. A little bit
of a name drop here, and that's fine. I grew up with Jack Osborne. Jack Osborne was a good friend of mine growing up through high school.
Ozzy Osborne's kid, for those of you not in the know.
No joke. As a teenager in his house up in like the, you know, really expensive parts of LA where Ozzy lived, Jack Osborne, I kid you not, Philly, had cashmere walls in his house. Cashmere walls. I don't know if there's a more like, I don't know what else to do with my money now, so here's what I'm going to do thing than to put flipping cashmere. I remember I got there and I was like, we were hanging out in his room and I touched the wall. I was like, whoa, dude, your wall is furry. He goes, yeah, my walls are cashmere.
Are you sure and you weren't on any kind of hallucinogenic substance at
that
point?
Not at that point, no. But I literally looked at him. I go, did you just tell me your walls are cashmere? He goes, yeah. And then I walked out of the room. I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. Cashmere walls. And that's how we start episode 200, people. I mean, Philly, we got 200 of these things, man. This is unreal. For the record, that's just three fewer interceptions and 43 wins than the greatest living American has in his NFL career.
Oh, crap. We couldn't go an episode, a milestone without this?
I want to give a shout out to Rob.
Damn it, Rob.
Rob, I missed my cue for 199. Of course, that being the draft position that Tom Brady was drafted. 198 players were drafted before the greatest living American in the 2000 NFL football draft. Could not believe that, but that's okay. This is the most black and gold podcast on earth. I am so excited, Philly, to say that we are here on episode 200. And Philly, I couldn't think of a better, well, carbonated water. I couldn't think of a better time to be able to celebrate 200. We have so many things to celebrate in the black and gold universe. We got Chiellini. We got Gareth Bale. We got Carlos Vela.
We got the best record in the West and the best record in
MLS.
I mean, we're living pinch me moments, Scarf, right on the precipice of episode 200. It couldn't be better than to celebrate episode 200 during these days. I'm so happy it's happening now rather than, you know, last year's mulligan season.
Dude, it's last year was rough. The year before that wasn't great either. What was also rough, Philly, is the conversation that the four of us had, that being Amanda, Nina, you, and I, about where the heck we were going to record this thing tonight. You guys, it was an absolute dumpster fire for the four of us trying to figure out. I thought Philly had recording equipment. Philly thought Nina had recording equipment. Amanda just wanted to go home because she has to work in like 4 hours or something like that. Philly thought he left a backpack in a restaurant. Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. You guys, it is hilarious. But we are in beautiful Lawndale, California, at the home of one Nina. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this while she sleeps in the other room, by the way. Good luck with that.
You had a great idea of going to the place where it all started, that rec center.
I did.
But neither of us had any kind of recording gear.
We had no recording equipment to do it. We were going to go to the rec center, same place we recorded episode 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7.
I think all the way up to the Gary Gold interview.
So that was like, I don't know.
Could that be a hint at our next designated player?
I mean, look,
Gary, we
have a designated player spot open. Gary Gold is, as far as we know, a free transfer, as they like to call it. In baseball, they call it a free agent, but free transfer. The Philly, look, maybe bring Gary Gold back for another episode. See how
he still has his season tickets.
He's not in the country.
No, he's in England right now.
All right.
He was back in LA for a little bit. I talked to one Gary Gold about a week or so ago. It was really cool to hear from him. We obviously have heard him go silent since he took his touring caravan to Austin for South by Southwest.
Right.
But we should see one Gary Gold back at the bank fairly soon. And I still have my number 69 gold jersey.
Yes, you do. That was Philly was the first and only person that I had heard of that knew who Gary Gold was before he got me down that rabbit hole. God, that was almost 200 episodes ago now, Philly.
It's insane. It's insane how much time has transpired since then. How many memories have been made? How many memories long forgotten? How many wins? How many losses? How many tears? How many smiles? How many toasts? How many beer cans? How many shoeys? How many tailgates?
Shots.
How many shots? Man, like this is, look, for those of you who are out there thinking, oh yeah, well, what's so big about these guys? They just record a podcast. Any two knuckleheads can get out there with a microphone and do this. You're absolutely right. Any two knuckleheads can. But the most important thing is consistency. And there's only one other podcast in this pod fam that has since hit this milestone. Of course, shout out to Joseph Zacher and Tony and Bam and everybody out there at Heart of LAFC. I thought at one point we would catch y'all, but you guys have just since lapped us on 50 occasions or so. But man, crossing the 200 threshold mark, it's been quite the ride, dude.
Yeah, look, Heart of LAFC, the original podfathers of the LAFC community, they've been doing it right now for, what, 250 episodes or so?
Yeah, something
but,
like that.
But, you know, it's been an incredible honor for us to be able to have part of the space for the LAFC creative community. Obviously, it all really kickstarted to a whole new level when Mo asked us to, or gave us permission, I should say, or was pissed at us for not already being on Christmas Tree Lane. And yep. Now we got to hang out and tailgate with everybody pregame and postgame and during game and everything else. It really is an honor for us, the two, as Philly likes to say, two chuckleheads in front of a microphone to be able to share our thoughts, our ideas, our feelings, our emotions, our everything with you, the black and gold community, or as we like to call it, the millions.
And millions.
That's right. I mean, we love being a part of this, and we really do truly love what we do. 200 episodes later, dare I say, Philly, we actually love it far more than we did first couple episodes. Because you know what? We've gotten a lot better at this labor of love. And there are things that we are still a disaster at.
Have we, Scarf?
I hope.
Because if we truly were better at it, and if we really were who we once were, we would have been able to power through yesterday and given the millions
and millions
a podcast right away. But
I will say this.
Ain't as good as we once was.
Oh, my God. I spent 8 hours plus with middle schoolers and fourth and fifth graders at Knott's Berry Farm for my summer camp.
Gross.
I had nothing in the tank, you guys. So if you want to point a finger, hashtag blame Scarf on that one for sure.
That's a milestone.
I was done after the game. I actually got to the game, 20 minutes before kickoff, which is very unlike me. Usually I'm there 20 minutes after sunup, I feel like, for some of these 7 o'clock games. But Wednesday games are also hard. They're just hard. All right, folks. Let's get into it. Don't forget, please, the Mauricio Mo Fascio Futsal Court in Southeast LA fundraising effort is underway. LAFC, the LAFC Foundation, and the 3252 are partnering to build a futsal court in Southeast LA in Mo's honor. And the link to donate is in our bio. And just don't forget, guys, click that link early, often, and always so that we can get this court built for Mo Fascio. We've got some fundraising stuff happening probably a little bit later in July that we've got one of our cool fundraising efforts that we're going to do for that. But Philly, it's going to be an episode kind of like all of the others in that We've got this day in LFC history. We've got news and notes. We're going to look at Las Vegas Lights and Angels City and a breakdown of the match, of the beatdown of, as you like to call them, Philly, what is it? FC
Ribeye Steak. Yep. I look at that logo and all I can think of is food.
But
with,
I do want to say,
with all the respect to our vegan listeners out there,
I do want to say this, and I mean this wholeheartedly. If there are any of you that after 200 episodes are joining us for the first time, thank you. Welcome. Hi. My name is JR. I go by the Scarf. It's a thing. Go back and listen to some of our earlier episodes. You can find out why they call me the Scarf. But that being said, I'm a teacher and summer camp director by day, a podcaster, I guess, by night. Goodness, never thought I would say that.
Which one is he moonlighting?
Teacher being on social media. That always goes well. And I'm sitting across from somebody who I met. If you guys don't know our story, he sits about three rows back from me in Founders Club. We both sit up in Founders right behind the camera. So we're never going to be on camera. We're always right behind the camera.
Ample distance for throwing popcorn.
Yeah. And you know what? That works really well because we both have faces for radio. So it's a good thing that we are
speak for yourself
behind the camera, not in front of the camera. But Philly and I met because of LAFC. There was a really, really loud guy about three rows behind me, and he thought there was this really, really loud guy about three rows in front of me.
Yep.
And look, the best thing that ever happened to us, Philly, is that our significant others became friends, because what we found out is that not only were we super passionate about doing this and bringing to the millions
and millions
this labor of love that we call Defenders of the Bank, but we had the two best support systems that we could have ever asked for as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's a lot of time that goes into this. I mean, it's Wednesday. Wait, what day is it? Jeez, I lost track.
It's Thursday.
Yeah, it's almost 11 o'clock. Yep. We both have regular jobs. We don't get paid millions.
Or millions.
We get paid dollars.
And dollars.
Cents.
Yeah.
To do this. But either way, you know, it's, I guess we're considered professional by those standards. We are getting paid.
Sort of.
But no, I mean, they've been such a big support system. I mean, we've heard this argument before, like, it's so cool that you guys get to do this and that your wives are cool. But not only are they cool about it, hell, they run their own pod called Angel City Chicks. We're also all on the 110 family together. We're on 110 Football and LAFC 360. They're on Angels Wear Boots. So we've literally developed a beautiful, organic five-man team. Got to give a big shout-out to Dexter.
Yes, sir.
And we once had a six-man team, but rest in peace, Schmitty McMittens. I love you, buddy.
Now we have a eight-man team. You got three more.
Yeah, which exactly. Harry, Huff, and Hagrid. We'll be giving you more info about them. But yeah, dude, it's been crazy. It took me months to convince you to do a podcast.
It did.
But finally, we got you on board, and here we are several years later on episode 200. I still have to pinch myself from time to time because we've gone from, you know, being a bunch of chuckleheads to, you know, having done and seen a lot of really cool things.
Sure.
I mean, hell, we've been on a billboard at Bank of California Stadium. I never imagined that would have happened.
That was definitely a pinch me moment. That was really, really, really cool. That was a first for us.
ESPN Radio.
And I do want to shout
out. News.
Again, Dexter.
Dexter.
Look, dude, you've probably done 100 and plus covers for us for all these things. I mean,
it was like 4th of July weekend 2020.
Yeah.
When he hopped on board. Remember, he created the trading cards for all of us.
Yep.
Even the one with Schmitty with the scarf on him.
No, believe me, I've always admired Dexter's work, but everybody, look, you got to go back to episode 199. Go to our Instagram page and look at that cover for 199. Dexter does a lot of cool stuff, but I think my favorite one he's ever done, Philly, by far, was episode 199. It combined so many great things, including the colors for Pride and everything else. Dexter, you're killing it, brother. So it was good to see you back at the bank. We know he's still in town, right, for a little bit?
No, he went back to Idaho.
Already
but
went
the
back?
The idea is that he's going to be back with Christina and family within the next couple of months.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, I mean, Dexter, we love you, buddy. We can't wait to have you back consistently. Can't wait to go back out to the pubs with you and chill. But Dexter, very much a big part of Defenders of the Bank.
For sure. Speaking of big parts of Defenders of the Bank, let's get into this day in LAFC history. It's going to be a short one. It's the day we're recording right now, Thursday, June 30th. Like Philly mentioned, June 30th, 2018. Philly, I have long said, I think, out of all the players who have ever put on black and gold, that my favorite player is none other than the great one, number 99, Adama Diomande. And on the 30th of June in 2018, Adama Diomande scores his first hat trick in team history. That's right. The very first hat trick in LAFC history was not scored by Diego Rossi, not scored by Carlos Vela, most not definitely scored by Brian Rodriguez. It was Adama Diomande in the 25th, 43rd, and 55th minutes in a 4-1 victory over the Philadelphia Unions at home. 2018 Philly, and we were just, what, maybe 15, 20 games into our season, and a 4-1 victory. It was Latif Blessing scoring in the 6th minute of stoppage time at the end of the ballgame to give us that 4th goal. Latif, we know you are hurting right now, not having your family here. You and I were actually chatting on Instagram for just a quick minute. Dude, everybody understands that family and being 5 years without family is tough. And we just want you to know here at Defenders of the Bank, we love you, brother. Yes, we also very much miss Adama Diomande. Bring back Dio. Hashtag bring back Dio. But that is this day in LAFC history. LAFC news and notes. Let's see. Gareth Bale, Chiellini, Carlos Vela. Nope, nothing else really happened after that.
Ooh, you missed something fun, by the way.
I'm ready.
The press conference.
I was working. I was literally at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, I mean, I had the fun.
Yeah.
There was a lot of great people there. Obviously, bumped into Jimmy, bumped into Albert, bumped into Reimer, the doctor himself, bumped into Mario, bumped into...
You should stop bumping into all these people. Just say hi, dude.
Bumped into KC. yeah, all right, fine. You're being literal. I am.
I got you.
But it was so cool being there. I mean, there was so many people there, and you'd wonder if like how much of a dress rehearsal that's going to be for Gareth Bale.
Hey, I mean, that's the Italian captain you're talking about, sir.
No, that Gareth Bale, that's the Welsh captain.
No, I'm saying...
I'm busting your chops, because that's what I do well.
Man, it was so great seeing him at the bank before the match, too, by the way.
He's taller than I thought.
That's awesome, because he looks older than I thought, too. Goodness gracious. That man is 38 going on 52.
Yeah, he's your age.
By the way, Chiellini, we know you're a big fan of the pod. We thank you for listening. We would love to have you on, if you don't mind.
Of course he's a big fan of the pod scarf. You know what he said during the press conference?
What's
Stryker
that?
Sell tickets, but defenders win championships.
I love that.
I was very on board for that.
I really
comment.
Want Gareth Bale's introductory line to be, "Hi, so I'm here to sell tickets." Like, I just so that he gives it back to Chiellini a little bit there. Man, they ruined a very nice suit of his, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, too.
Yeah, look, John McCarthy, what's up with that?
Dude, I mean, look, maybe he didn't know which pond he was swimming in that moment there for good old John.
What kind of suit do you think he was wearing?
Oh, Armani.
Yeah.
I've also known he's kind of a Prada guy, too. Like, I saw him.
Where's Prada from?
I don't know.
Is it not from Italy?
Isn't it? Right?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You look like a Prada kind of guy.
I don't even know what that means. I can't afford Prada. Are you kidding? I can barely afford the Nike stuff that I wear. Sorry, Adidas, but I'm a Nike guy. Philly's living the three-stripe life.
Three-stripe live, baby. Until Airwalks come back out in style.
Oh, Jesus.
That'll be an Airwalk ambassador.
They're good luck with that. I do enjoy my Chuck Taylors, though, on occasion. Let's get into the Las Vegas Lights update. Their next home match is a home tilt against Detroit City on Saturday, July 2nd, and that is all. Let's get into the Angels City Minute. Big news, Philly, before they take on the Thorns tomorrow, Friday, July 1st at the bank. Angels City FC has acquired the former UCLA Bruin, World Cup winner, and gold medalist, Sydney LaRue. From the Orlando Pride, of course, the Kristen Press injury out for the year. And for all the details on the Sydney LaRue acquisition, please check out the Angel City Chicks at Angel City Chicks.
The plug.
Nina and Panda, they do all of your wonderful Angel City bidding. They are fantastic. Please check out their podcast. And that's why we are going to stop talking about Angel City right now. And Philly, just like that, it's time to talk about the Dallas match.
Indeed it is. FC Ribeye Steak, a team that last season was utterly abysmal. A team that finished in, what, 11th place in the West?
Yes.
23rd overall. A grand total of 7 games won over the course of last season. But that was last season.
Yep.
This season, they are significantly better. 4th in the West, 7th in the Shield, and they've already won 7 games. Granted, in their last 5, they've only won 1, tied 1, and lost the rest. But this FC Dallas team, certainly a much better team, and they're not that far removed from a bit of silverware. 2016, a couple of years before LAFC's inception, they were Supporters Shield champions.
Yep.
And I believe they might have even finished higher than us up on the table in 2018 when we had our inaugural season. FC Dallas was a pretty good team, but Going in against FC Ribeye Steak, we were riding a nice wave of momentum, several wins and ties over the course of the month, the good news of Gareth Bale and Chiellini. Times are fun at Bank of California Stadium, Scarf. Certainly fun. Ryan Hollingshead going against his old team. Us being far from fans of Farfan, got to see him again in Bank of California Stadium. Hopping on hump day, baby.
Don't forget Kellen Acosta. That was the birthplace of the, I should say the birthplace, but the academy career began there for Kellen Acosta.
True,
played
true.
Lots and lots of games for FC Dallas. For the record, Philly, in 2018, we finished tied on 57 points, tied with 16 wins, 9 losses, and 9 draws each. That's right, FC Dallas and LFC, okay. Same record, but we take it on both goals and goal differential. We scored 68 to their 52 and 16 to their 8 on goal differential. But we're close. We're close. That was before they had 7 teams make the playoffs, so the Galaxy finishing 7th that year didn't help them at all. Anyways, let's get back to this game here. Philly, FC Dallas is a good team. And yes. You kind of mentioned that, right? They're in 4th place. But moreover, FC Dallas is the gold standard by which all academies in, I will say this, North America are measured. I know that, is it Toluca or Pachuca? I forget which one's Toluca, right? Which is the one where we have the guy from who used to be the academy director. I think it was at Toluca, right?
No, I think it was Pachuca.
Oh, Jesus. All right. This is Dave Denholm right now. Dave, we know you're a big fan of the podcast. We thank you for listening. His favorite Liga MX game is Toluca Pachuca. And to hear him talk about the Toluca Pachuca rivalry and how much he watches Toluca and Pachuca, it's now gotten me all on the wrong track. So I apologize. But that is the real other academy in all of North America that's looked at as a huge academy. But FC Dallas, I mean, the players that they have turned out have been absolutely incredible. Not just Shaft Brewer, everybody, by the way, but
who does listen to the pod, actually.
Shaft, we miss you,
actually,
buddy.
Like, had a like on our Instagram about 5-10 minutes ago.
Shaft Brewer liked our Instagram, like, he's, 5 or 10 minutes ago?
He's been like, involved with Defenders. Like,
Shaft, we know that.
I've got a Shaft Brewer Jr. jersey, like, from year two.
You were the first person I saw at Bank California Stadium with a Shaft Brewer Jr. jersey.
Without a doubt, the first person as well to have a Philip Edgemato jersey.
That's also true. Philip, we miss you, buddy. Oh, my goodness. All kinds of name drops here on episode 200.
Javi Perez are, like, among one of our first interviews.
Oh, man, he got hurt right after.
The Defenders interview curse.
But they are now managed by, anyway, no, sorry, let's back up. Still talking about the academies. This academy is very, very good. The team on the pitch, current U.S. men's national team darling Jesus Ferreira.
Oh, yes.
And we saw him at his best. And what I really liked is this was a team that plays the same formation that we do, plays the same pressing high style that we do. And I thought this was going to be a really fun heavyweight fight from start to finish. And honestly, it was. It really, really was. LAFC just landed a few more haymakers than FC Dallas. Let's talk about the lineup and formations for FC Dallas first. 42-year-old Nico Emilio Estevez from Valencia, Spain. I know his middle name isn't Emilio, but you know what?
Yeah, I was about to look at you. I'm like, what? This guy was not like the star in Young Guns 2.
No, he was not, but he is. He was the former assistant to your favorite head coach in all of soccer, Greg Berhalter.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, he was former assistant on both the crew and the U.S. men's national team, but now he takes over FC Dallas for the first time here in 2022. And they brought in a new keeper, Dutch keeper Martin Paes. And you know what? He actually had a pretty good game against LAFC, but you know what? That's because we allowed him to, because we took a whole bunch of shots. Defender Iwa Tumasi. And Iwa Tumasi is very, very fast. That's something that we found out in this match. Defender Matt Hedges, he has been with Dallas quite a long time. And Kosi Tafari, and here comes that man again. We are not big fans of Marco Farfan. He played in 29 matches with LAFC last year, 2021, and then wore out his welcome, and we shipped him off to Abu Dhabi like normal. Our midfielders, Brandon Cervenia,
so cute, Garfield.
Edwin Cirillo, and Paxton Pomacall. Paxton Pomacall does a lot of things. Philly, you and I talked about this a little bit, that don't appear on the score sheet. But he is a very, very solid midfielder. He has not quite turned out to be the darling of the U.S. men's national team. Like his compatriot, Jesus Ferreira, Paul Areola, who absolutely has U.S. men's national team aspirations coming into Qatar, and Yader Obrien, who is also flipping fast, round
and
out
dirty.
The 11. He is. That's right. And
dirty
the,
player.
In the 18, there was one
from
kid
a hygiene
that
perspective.
I was really hoping to see play. That would be 19-year-old young DP Alan Velasco from Quilmes, Argentina. He did eventually get in, but did not make the impact that I hope he would. That rounds out FC Dallas. Philly, what about LAFC?
Well, before LAFC, you talked about Paxton Pomacall.
I do.
I mean, he leads MLS in a couple of statistical categories.
Yep.
One being passes completed, progressive passes, touches, tackles attempted, and here's a good one, interceptions leading to shots. A lot of stuff that you would not see on the stat sheet, but all the dirty work. So you got to tip your hats off to him. But this is a team that solely relies on the goal-scoring prowess of one, Jesus Ferreira, and Paul Areola. Between these two guys, we're talking 17 goals out of the 26 that FC Dallas scored. All you had to do was lock down Areola,
yep,
lock down Ferreira. Well, spoiler alert, things happen. But I just wanted to make sure that we highlighted that as good as Dallas is, these are the two guys that they fall back on. But do you really trust the performance of a team that loses twice to Vancouver and Sporting Kansas City?
I hear you.
Stick around for the details, defenders. Stick around. As far as LAFC is concerned, somebody I want to note who was not on the questionable or injured list, Eric Duenas.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
He also wasn't in the 18, though.
But he also isn't 18.
But that's true.
But either way, it was nice not to see him on there. All right, I'm going to I digress. As far as LAFC's lineup is concerned, Maxime Kepro, Ryan Hollingshead again going up against a team that he spent quite a bit of time on. Jesus, David Murillo, Sebastian Ibiaga, who is improved vastly from his first game as a member of the Black and Gold. Chiqui Palacios, who's getting better and better by the second. Kellen Acosta, who keeps disappearing. Ilya Sanchez, Jose Cifuentes, who gets better and better. Carlos Vela, welcome back, Capitan. Chicho Arango, who is will give you his stats at the end of the game. Quite fascinating. And the Moose,
yep,
Danny Musovski. Quite enjoy this lineup. When you saw who was starting, by the way, if you're wondering where Brian was, Brian just took a little knock, nothing too serious. That's why he wasn't in the lineup or the 18, but nothing to be worried about. When you saw this lineup, what were your immediate thoughts?
So my immediate thoughts are always, let's see what's going on with the back line first, because in my opinion, this team is actually now built from the back line forward. Maxime Crepeau, the incredible center back duo that we've had of Sebastian Ibiaga and Jesus David Murillo. I think, while I don't believe that they are going to be the starting center back pairing when we win MLS Cup, I think that what Steve Cherundolo is doing right now is tapped into something that really, really works. Murray and Ibiaga seem to complement and counter each other very, very well. Dare I say, Murray's played a little bit more under control these last couple of games. We saw this with Seattle, Red Bull, and now FC Dallas. That's been the pairing now for these last three matches. And look, it kind of helps the both of them, right? That Mamadou falls a little bit in the doghouse, or maybe needing to learn to mature a little bit. But what I thought was interesting is we have a two-headed monster now on the right. We have Ryan Hollingshead and we have Franco Escobar. And I think what Steve Cherundolo sees is, depending on the style, depending on the tendencies for the team that we are playing, that's the part that switches. But the absolute rock back there for the last, 17 games now for us is one Chiqui Palacios. And I love Chiqui Palacios day in and day out. He has gotten better and better and better and better.
Didn't you call him out a few times
ago? I called him out in game four.
Oh, you remember that?
I think it was game four. Yeah, and he has pretty much said, shut up, Scarf. Hold my Sprite. Or is he 22 now? He's 21, 22. Yeah. Hold my beer.
He doesn't drink. He goes to sleep after LAFC games. It's his favorite thing to do. We saw it on the 110.
He said that. That's crazy to me. He goes to sleep after the games. I would love to do that after a game once or twice.
What's sleep?
I don't know. So when I look at that, I always start at the back line. But look, it's always fun to see who starts up top, right? And Moose earned his tracks.
With the likes of a Gareth Bale coming back, with the likes of Carlos Vela coming back, you'd have to wonder exactly how Moose and Opoku would feature in the lineup. We talked about this on the pregame show. I mentioned it. Jessica Black mentioned it. And this was an opportunity for the young bloods to do exactly what they need to do to sort of solidify their position on this roster. Because with Gareth Bale coming in, somebody's going to have to sit and somebody effectively will disappear. So this was their opportunity to shine. And between those two names that I mentioned, shine they did. More on that later. But yeah, getting Danny in the lineup, pretty cool. We've seen Opoku start quite a few games, but he's been effective in a lot of ways, but he's also been frustrating in other ways. Danny the Moose, frustrating in some ways, but very effective in a lot of other ways. But Danny Musovski, we talked about it a couple of podcasts ago. Despite the fact that he's earning probably as much money as you and I are, the guy has a fair amount of goals for a man in his position. What bang for LAFC's buck. Danny Musovski, God bless you. Good on you, brother.
Danny Musovski is the sixth leading scorer across all competitions in LAFC history. Think about that for a minute, guys.
Mind blown.
Danny Musovski is the sixth leading scorer in LAFC history across all competitions. Moreover, Danny Musovski has four more goals in his career, despite playing nine less games, I believe, in his career than one Brian Rodriguez.
Scarf has a story to tell you at the end of this podcast. Make sure... Well, who am I talking to? No one's going to make me sure I'm going to do anything. I got to remind myself to make sure that you don't forget to say what you got to say.
And it's because Philly told me to save this till the end, you guys. So we're saving it till the end. All right. That being said, Philly.
Yes, sir.
Shall we get started in the game breakdown?
Yeah, let's absolutely get started in the game breakdown.
Let's get started before the game breakdown. That man in the beautiful blue suit was out there on the pitch.
All right, so
for the
I didn't catch
time.
That because I was doing the pregame. Yeah, so it's your turn to tell this.
You were doing the pregame, and Giorgio Chiellini walking around out there with Paul, and all of a sudden you see Paul kind of turn over and look at the north end and go, "Hey, you should probably go over there and say hi." And it was clear that everybody was watching Paul and Giorgio on the field at that point. Because literally as soon as Giorgio turned his hips and shoulders towards the north end, they started applauding. They knew that they had now made eye contact with Giorgio Chiellini. And the north end and the Italian captain became fast friends. He ran over, said some highs. The north end erupted. It was a whole big thing. It was really, really, really cool. And then they whisked him away to the director's box so that he could go watch the game.
When you say whisked, I thought you were going to give Wayne's World line again. What, they brought him to Delaware? Really?
We're in Delaware.
I am in Delaware.
That being said, the honorary Falconer, Philly.
Oh.
I mean, apparently they've run out of
this guy.
They've run out of megastars in LA, and now they've just gone to the heart and soul, the blood, the sweat, and the tears of LAFC, the current president of the 3252,
and one of the biggest Juventus fans you'll ever meet. FYI,
he must have been losing his mind being 3.5 feet from Chiellini while holding Ollie at the same time. 6 to midnight is what KC was doing. Congrats.
With fear of a falcon.
Congrats to KC, the honorary Falconer, KC Garcia. Dude, so happy to see you doing that, my man. That was awesome. And it was a long flight that Ollie took. Ken was talking to us about this. Ollie's been going on walkabout a little bit on some of these flights, man.
Puberty.
Is that what it is? Is that what Ken thinks it is?
I mean, I don't know, like, you know, how falcons age, but, you know, she might have gotten a little ornery. She's like, oh, God, Dad, I got to be doing this again, making circles around this grassy knoll that I've been doing this time and time.
There's no way it's possible that Philly got that right, and he just picked falcon puberty out of the hat. And
oh, without a doubt. You think I know anything about birds of prey? Hell no, like, I think pigeons are birds of prey.
I was like, puberty? What is he talking about? He could actually be right. I don't know. Ken, you're listening, we know you're a big fan of the pod. Let us.
Yeah, he's been on the pod.
Let us know. That being said, it was an incredible pregame, great national anthem once again. I am one that loves that we now have people singing the national anthem because everybody still sings along. It's great. And in the first minute, we kick it off and Sifu hits the circle button. For all of you that don't play PlayStation, that makes you spin in FIFA. That was a beautiful spin move in the first minute by Sifu. But unfortunately, Chicho couldn't get enough on the ball. So an easy early save for Paez and FC Dallas. In the fourth minute, though, FC Dallas getting a little bit of space. One shot blocked by Sebastian Ibiaga and another for a corner. We're kind of having trouble clearing our lines. But another nice move by Carlos for a corner in the fifth minute. And I thought, Philly, a little bit of a dangerous ball for the first time 10 minutes in. FC Dallas with the corner. They play the corner short, and a rocket from the outside by Brandon Cervenia forces a dive for Maxime.
Yeah, I mean, Maxime's in there. I mean, we had a shot right there. You mentioned Cervenia. I mean, nothing happened as a result of the corner in the 10th minute, but what Cervenia did, yeah, and I think it really set the tone for the game and probably triggered a big spark for LAFC, was he fouled Carlos Vela really hard in the 12th minute and looked like it was on his quad too.
Yeah.
From what we heard from Steve Cherundolo during the press conference afterwards, it was a Charlie horse that lingered, so thankfully it wasn't anything too serious. But at that point, an angry Carlos is an even better Vela. I think what Cervenia did was make a huge mistake. LAFC in the past has been known to kind of have a tough time against tough physical teams. You could go back into the past and watch any Portland or Seattle match. LAFC is a finesse, beautiful team to watch, but when people start to get physical with them, they start to, you know, they start to be a little tentative. Carlos going down the first time set the tone for this game, because Carlos Vela, despite not having any goals, came awfully close on a number of occasions. So we got to thank Cervenia for that foul in the 12th minute.
Yeah, you're right, though. When you say it set the tone, set the tone. Hey there. Set the tone for FC Dallas, because just a minute later, Murray gets fouled pretty hard by Paul Areola. And the only thing I thought of is one Redwood's a lot bigger than the other there. But okay, Paul, if you want to go ahead and take on Jesus David Murillo, that's fine by me. There was no yellow card this time. Cervenia got the yellow for the foul that we just talked about before, but a stern warning for Areola. And you're right, Dallas came out trying to be very physical. LAFC not normally playing well against physical teams, but that would change in this match for sure. In the 15th, Chicho to Moose, but he fanned on the shot once again. He's done that a couple of times recently. And in the 16th minute, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about Cheeky Palacios. It is not just his 1v1 defending. It's not just his defending in space. It's not the angles that he takes, but it's the threat that he gives us in the attacking third of the pitch off of a set piece. Cheeky to Carlos Vela, just wide on the header. Please go back and look at that play.
Thought it was in from our angle. Oh my God. Thought it hit the back of the net.
I don't know how it missed. And the beauty of that pass by Cheeky Palacios. Guys, this kid is so, so, so good. Something else I also found out about between the 16th and 17th minute is that between Tuomasi and Obreon, we don't have anybody that's that fast on our club. I mean, those two guys, when they put their laces on, they tie them tight, because those shoes, they are moving, you guys. That was so much fun to watch those two guys play. This is why I say FC Dallas is far more of a threat than their scorelines have led on lately. Those two guys had us under pressure almost the entire first, like, 75 minutes of the match, and it was fun to watch Tuomasi and Obreon.
Yeah, I mean, in that 17th minute, Chicho trying to connect with Moose, but those guys absolutely beat the heck out of Moose to the ball. When Moose gets the ball in the box, he's deadly, but obviously those two defenders would not allow Moose to do anything of the sort. Several minutes later, Moose does have a good run in the box, but nothing comes as a result of that. 22nd minute, Jose Cifuentes, who was tied with Carlos Vela for the team lead in assists, connects to Chicho. It got kicked right to the Dallas keeper, though. Paez, like, just simply caught it. It's like, hey, we're playing a nice game of catch. Right to him. But actually, it bounced off.
No, I was going to say, that was the
save
that was
for my
corner.
Mistake. I mean, now that I think about it, I'm wiping the cobwebs. Chicho hit it hard enough. It bounced off of Paez, like, into the corner, and that's like our first real dangerous set piece opportunity.
Yeah, Ilya Sanchez was the one that started that whole thing too. You had Ilya to Sifu to Chicho, and man, when Ilya Sanchez is on, I don't know that I enjoy watching a midfield maestro do work more than Ilya Sanchez.
Midfield maestro.
He is
incredible. I thought you were talking about Pirlo right there.
There you go. The corner that we earned off of that, by the way, absolutely perfect corner by Carlos Vela. And Ryan Hollingshead somehow gets that header saved by Paez. What a save by Paez on that. It really should have been 1-0 quite early. Nothing on the third corner or the third bite at the cherry, as one Max Bredos would like to say. But don't worry, because in that 23rd minute, Jose Cifuentes spots a Moose running right down the middle of the pitch. Actually, a little bit more to the left of the pitch. Philly, Talk about the options that Sifu had on this. He had Chicho in the middle and two defenders on Chicho. Both of them thought that ball was going to Chicho until Sifu went, hold my beverage.
Yeah, no, it was a beautiful play, but we have to nod what happened prior to that. So there was a defensive play by Chiqui Palacios towards the LAFC side of the field, and he made a great play, passed the ball over to Murray, who cleared it, had a great clearance from pretty much the box to the midfield to Jose C. Fuentes, and Fuentes with a beautiful forward pass, and Danny the Moose, a moose mangling missile into the back of the net. Danny the Moose Musoski, we already talked about how many goals he's had. I mean, if you would equate how many goals he's scored based on the amount of money that he earns, holy Toledo, the Moose got loose, kicked FC Dallas first in the caboose, but great passing, great defense. I mean, everything started from the back line for LAFC, just the same way Bob would have wanted it back in the day.
It's when you asked me what I thought about with the lineup, right? I say this team is built from the back line out, not just because of our defensive efficiency, and we have been very, very good defensively this season. But again, the threats that we can make, I thought today, especially in the game yesterday, I thought Murray's passing was much better, at least connecting man to man. It was much better, right? Murray tends to have one or two bad giveaways, and there were certainly a few. But I really thought that, especially when we were attacking, when we were trying to move the ball up forward in a hurry, that Murray was a big part of that. Danny friggin' Musovski, though, man. That guy just finds a way. He's like life in Jurassic Park. It just finds a way. It's unreal.
I'm sorry,
to
what?
Watch.
It's like life in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, remember life.
Park?
I
would have never thought you would have pulled that out of left field.
It's a quote.
No, wait. Way to go.
Yeah, thank you. Danny Musovski is, look, Oliver, we know you listened to the pod all the way back when Musovski Numbergate was happening. Danny's brother, Oliver. Danny, we hope you also listen to the pod. It's just what you do for us, man, the way that you have been able to score goals when we have absolutely needed them, we really appreciate it.
You are the man, Moose. And I love saying the Moose is loose, kicking opposing teams in the caboose. It's probably my favorite thing to say. I am a big Danny Musovski fan.
Wait. More favorite than best in the West and best in MLS?
I mean, no. Now we're talking like micro versus macro level stuff, Scott. I'm all about the macro. You know, for me, the devil is in the
details. Moose are kind of big. That could be a macro Moose. Macro Moose.
A moose-balling missile. How's about that for alliteration?
In the 27th minute, LAFC absolutely dodging a bullet from Paul Areola. He did some work in the box. And look, we're lucky that it's still 1-0 after 27 minutes. I just loved everything in the 27th, 28th, 29th minute. I mean, it was back and forth and back and forth. It was like watching Venus play Serena at Wimbledon, which is kind of timely, except for that Venus and Serena are both not at Wimbledon right now, but that's okay.
There's a nice tennis reference. Bet you didn't think that was happening
on
this podcast.
Look, we got tennis references, you guys. Come on. But it was beautiful. Not loving Maxime Crepeau's distribution with the ball in the first half. He put a couple out of bounds.
And there was also in the 28th minute where him and Murray needed to communicate better because both went for the ball. Maxime wasn't too terribly happy about that. But, I mean, there was a corner awarded to FC Dallas as a result of it. And, you know, our set-piece defense is vastly improved. But you're worrying that a set-piece goal by FC Dallas could be the equalizer. But, oh, wait. Minutes later, off of a set-piece, we saw, I mean, arguably the goal of the month candidate, wouldn't you say?
I mean, look, we would see one a little bit later on in the match that I was a big fan of too, but look, this is why he's on the U.S. men's national team. It's why he got a shot just recently. It's why he wears the number 10 shirt for Dallas, right?
It's why Augsburg is kicking themselves that they took Pepe, not him.
Jesus Ferreira is real good, you guys. Real good when given the opportunity. He's when he's given space, he's as good as it gets, but a little okey-doke by FC Dallas on the set piece. They had another player standing over the ball, and he took an attempt at it and then backed away at the last second. And poor guy, Maxime Crepeau, he bit for it hook, line, and sinker. Took two or three steps up, and as soon as Ferreira made contact with that ball, the only other time I saw that look on a keeper from us Philly is when Zlatan took that shot, and Tyler Miller was like,
stop, let's not talk about
that. Wait, I'm all the way out here, and that shot's going all the way back. Oh, crap. I saw the same look on Maxime Crepeau's face, and it was just, look, at the end of the day, Yes, Maxime got caught badly out of position. Yes, it was a stupid, stupid foul by Jose Cifuentes on Marco Farfan right outside the box when he absolutely didn't need to. But either way, it takes a perfectly placed free kick by Jesus Ferreira, who literally won the crossbar challenge with that in the All-Star game. It hit the underside of the crossbar and banged in. Definitely one of the most beautiful goals you'll see all season, and makes him the first to 10 this season in Major League Soccer.
Leeds FC Dallas with 10 goals. Leeds FC Dallas with 4 assists. That was an amazing goal. And the best thing that happened for FC Dallas at that point, it was not only Ferreira that lined up with the ball, it was also Farfan.
Yeah, Farfan.
Farfan. Again, we're far from fans of Farfan. Had he made that attempt, there's no way that would even cleared the wall. Ferreira making a very good case as to why he probably should be the next FC Dallas player to make a run in the Bundesliga or Serie A or anywhere else, not the MLS.
And
what a spectacular goal.
And I think if you've got your tickets to the All-Star game in Minnesota...
Minnesota.
I think that's who we pencil in either in the middle or on the outside there. He is going to be starting. I'm calling it right now, and I don't think it's a... That's not me going out on a limb. Scarf Stradamus is just reading the funnies at that point. It's not writing new things on the newspaper. He is going to start in the All-Star game. In the 40th and 41st minute, I thought we were just chasing the ball the entire time. Poor Karen and Jack in front of us that were sitting there. I'm literally like screaming left and right. Stop chasing the damn ball. 43rd minute. I mean, what a sequence by LAFC. I don't know how Paez got to this ball. An absolutely great save. Ilie Sanchez again, stop me if you've heard that before, starting the break, then the back heel pass, I believe from Chicho Arango. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that one, but I think it was Ilie to Chicho, and Vela absolutely demolishes the first shot, but unfortunately it goes right at Paez. There's a rebound that comes off to the left, but unfortunately Vela sent tumbling as he tried to find the angle on that one, so nothing comes from it. But what a sequence there in the 43rd minute. And I thought Philly to pretty much close out the half in the 44th. Carlos Vela absolutely earning his money. We already saw him take one on the quad. Now he takes another hard foul for yet another yellow card for FC Dallas, this time on Nkosi. The free kick, Philly, there were seven players in the wall. Seven players in the wall, and somehow Carlos Vela still almost bent that one in for a goal.
Yep, I mean, it was close again, and you know, he's knocking on the door, certainly like getting in the game, certainly being aggressive, but to, you know, obviously he took a beating, but to get another player with a second yellow card, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because now these guys have to play even more tentatively against a high-powered offense, a team that leads the league in goals scored. So this is not the team you want to like pile up on the fouls. The only thing in terms of like offense and defense that FC Dallas share in common with LAFC is the fact that they both allowed only 17 goals coming into this match. Although like FC Dallas not necessarily on the positive receiving end. But the first half was very much entertaining. But here's the difference between this team this season versus the past couple. Despite the fact that Ferreira had an unbelievable golazo of a goal, I don't believe, and I don't know, you tell me what your thoughts were.
Yeah.
I didn't have the anxiety or the frustration or the sadness that I had in the past couple of seasons. LAFC going up was exciting, but them conceding a goal shortly thereafter was a common thing. But the last LAFC teams of the past couple of seasons would have buckled allowing another goal. Going into the half, you knew that we are a second half team. We have scored more goals in the second half than any other teams in MLS, and we have conceded fewer goals than any other team in the MLS. I believe after the game is done, we have had 20 goals in the second half with only 3 goals conceded. No worries going into the locker room, knowing that, you know, fine, it could be 1-1. I could have had Dallas score the first goal, but I had no fears that LAFC was not going to win this game.
Look, here's what I'll say about that. I think that Dallas had you on edge, not you, Philly, but you, the royal you, had everybody on edge for the way that they played, but I kept waiting for there to be a crack, for there to be a real issue, and it just never showed up for LAFC. We played so well, so consistently against a team that I really feel, I mean, guys, I think this team is very, very, very good and really underrated. But that being said, I mean, Once we went up 2-1, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, I didn't ever worry again. When it was 1-1, I thought, okay, we need to generate a couple more opportunities. We need to be a little more clinical in the third. But you're absolutely right, though. I've had a good feeling about this match all the way throughout, but I know this is a very, very good Dallas team. So, look, heading into the half, it's 1-1. Nothing really happened in stoppage time, but I loved when the Orange team blows the whistle while we're still sort of kind of in buildup. Thank you, Orange team. That being said, Philly, any stats to give us at the end of the first half, or are we just heading right in the second?
I mean, Dallas had not the majority, but they had like two more shots than LAFC. We're talking 9-7. But where it matters is the fact that LAFC had four shots on goal. So you could harken back to the Galaxy game where we really had no shots and no shots on goal. Going into the first 45 minutes, seven shots with four on target. That's pretty darn good considering the some of the past performances we've had.
Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. And I just want to remind everybody, in Major League Soccer games this season, we have had 14 different goal scorers, with Cheeky Palacios becoming number 14 last game. 14 different goal scorers, Philly. Are you kidding me? I think right now the Chicago Fire would love to have 14 goals on the season the way that they are playing. This is the most diverse attack in Major League Soccer. And what we know, and you already mentioned it, Philly, is that going into the second half, we are by far the best second half team in Major League Soccer.
It's not even close.
Carlos puts it on Paez for an easy save in the 47th minute. Maxime having to make a kick save in the 49th minute. What a through ball. This was Sifu and Ilya Sanchez-esque, from Obreon to Paul Areola, and Maxime kick save and a beauty. For all of you former Kings fans out there, you know who that voice is. But kick save and a beauty from Maxime Crepeau. A beautiful pass from Obreon. In the 53rd minute, unfortunately, an over-the-top ball to Carlos, but he just couldn't get anything on the end of that ball. And in the 54th minute, Chicho kind of bothered me a little bit here. He took that shot from distance that I thought he could have dribbled into space, maybe gotten about 5 yards closer. I don't know. Maybe the ball was where he wanted it to be. But we definitely didn't have to worry about anything in the 57th minute. Little ticky-tacky soccer being played here. Murray to Acosta to Vela to Chicho. And for the second match in a row, Philly, the Vela to Chicho combo is a go.
Yep, and that's the fourth consecutive game in which Chicho Arango has scored a goal. It was his fifth of the season. He's now only one behind Carlos Vela for team lead. And if you go back to when Chicho came onto this club in August, he's the fourth person on LAFC to score 20 goals. And nobody, and I mean nobody, has scored more goals than him since he came into the league. He has taken it by storm, and to think he didn't even start out the season red hot.
Yeah.
He didn't even start the first game of the season. He's worked his way into the lineup, and I would venture to say that, you know, he's solidified his place on this roster. Even with Gareth Bale on the horizon, I still think that Chicho has earned his place. At the absolute worst, he can play the role of a DO coming in around the 65th and 70th minute, and we can pretty much count on the fact that Chicho is going to score a goal. But he plays with passion. He plays with fire. He plays with tenacity. He has goal-scoring capabilities. He's aggressive. When he gets pushed off the ball, he doesn't bounce off anybody like, you know, he's in a, like in a ping-pong machine, on a pinball machine. I love watching Chicho play. He's been an exciting player, but more importantly than that, he's ingratiated himself into the black and gold community, and he's without a doubt become a fan favorite.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a kid this season, right? So he's definitely got family to play for now, and a little bit differently than he maybe did at the start of the season. The other thing I do want to mention about that Carlos Vela assist, Philly, is that that now puts Carlos in a little bit of rarefied air in terms of Major League Soccer players this season. Only Carlos Vela and Luchi Acosta of FC Cincinnati at the halfway point, because we are now at the halfway point after this game, 17 games. Only Carlos Vela and Luchi Acosta have 6 goals and 6 assists or more on the season. Vela with 6 and 6, and Luchi with 6 and 9. for all of the lamenting and hand thrashing and teeth gnashing about, oh, Carlos Vela, is he still worth DP money? Is he still that kind of guy? He is still that guy, folks. Only two players in the league have 6 goals and 6 assists, and one of them plays in black and gold. So for all of you that are worried about Carlos Vela, everything's going to be just fine. And I think over the last couple games, since the announcement of the Gareth Bale signing, we have definitely seen a little bit of a different Carlos Vela. Cheeky again, Philly, at the hour mark. Again, puts it right on target. And this time, unfortunately, Chicho couldn't put it in the back of the net.
That was the brace.
That was it right there. I mean, it was there, but unfortunately couldn't put it on frame. I was wondering how many more fouls they would allow for Obreon. And certainly in the 66th minute, he absolutely takes Ilya out. And in the 67th minute, Dallas absolutely took him out. Brandon Cervenia and Obreon coming out for the player who I really wanted to see. And I got to see for 23 minutes plus stoppage time of action. Alan Velasco comes into the game, the 19-year-old young designated player. What a time. Can you imagine a team, Philly, who has like a young, solid, up-and-coming talent who doesn't even start their Oh, sorry, Brian. Never mind. All right. In the in the 69th minute.
Let it burn. Let it burn.
More on Brian after the end of the episode.
Well, Scott's got an announcement to make.
In the 69th minute. It's the giggity wave.
Oh,
that's
God,
right.
You did
that's
that,
what
didn't
I'm
you?
Calling it. It's the giggity wave.
Gross.
Maybe people got so excited when they saw the 69th minute that they started the wave. And it is so much fun to go on LAFC fans Facebook page. I don't know if you did this or not, Philly.
I never go on.
I know
that
you
thing.
Like to stay.
I like to smile,
I am a regular attendee of the carnage that is LAFC's fans Facebook page. It's so funny. People, there's no hashtag Bob out anymore, right? There's no, oh, this player shouldn't be starting, shouldn't be playing. It's all one big happy family right now, right? Man, were they pissed about the wave happening at an LAFC match. It was unreal.
No, I'm with that. That was my stock down on 110. I hate the wave. I never liked it when I had season tickets for the Mets and Shea. I'm like, this is a baseball thing. Yeah, it might look cool. I don't want to stand up. I don't like the wave. I'll never like the wave. But the fact that it came out, I really thought it would have died in the North End. I would have thought that, you know, between Founders and Field Club that, you know, everybody in those sections would be like, no. But it kept picking up. And the North End, I mean, they all stand anyway, so it's not too hard to, like, wave their hands. I can't believe it kept going on and on and on. But to me, the thing that I hate the most about the wave, it's so bloody distracting. I stopped focusing on the game, and all I could think of is how much I hated the wave. That is not productive for somebody trying to take notes to do a podcast, Scott.
It is so funny watching Philly be old man yells at cloud right now. This is hilarious.
Old man does what?
Old man yells at cloud. The Simpsons reference, grandpa yelling at the cloud.
That's what you're referring to.
Yeah, look, it's.
I may be turning my Robinson year this year, but I'm not the old man Simpson.
Bone Storm gets it. They know what I'm talking about. Look, Philly, the wave is a sporting event phenomenon that actually, I believe, for the most part, began at a soccer match in Mexico. I think that's how it started.
No, it started by some dude in Milwaukee.
Oh my goodness, Philly hates the wave. You guys, look, I don't love nor hate the wave when it happens at an LAFC match, but it was notable how long the damn thing went on. It kept going and going and going. I mean, maybe
take the batteries out of that Energizer Bunny. No, me gusta.
But you know what though, Philly? You know why I think it was also allowed to happen just a little bit on a Wednesday night? Can we talk about the atmosphere at Bank of California Stadium first? That place was absolutely slammed, and it was slammed early. You were doing the pregame with 110 Football. I was in Founders, and Philly, there wasn't a chair, a seat, a cushion, like an arm of a chair. You couldn't sit or stand anywhere in there. And you looked out across the rest of the 22,000 seats at Bank of California Stadium, and they were already filling up. You also, by the way, 25 minutes before the match, heard the drums of the 3252 because they are the best supporter section in Major League Soccer. It was a crazy night in terms of atmosphere there. It was packed.
Yeah, you love that on a Wednesday. And It's fun to be back at Banc of California Stadium again. It's no longer frustrating. It hasn't always been frustrating, but last season wasn't always the best. We missed so much during the pandemic year as well. Fun times are at Banc of California Stadium, and it's rather reminiscent of all the joy we experienced in 2019. But I venture to say that it's even more fun right now because we believe in our team, and they're killing it. It's once again a trendy thing to come to LAFC games. And like, that's one thing we'll probably have to get over because you and I will be there, whether the team is best in the West and best in MLS. I mean, they could be the worst of the worst and we'll still be there. Yep. But yeah, we just got to get used to the fact that, you know, it's trendy and there are going to be people that we see within Founders Club that are going to act the fool and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, these are my VIP seats. I'm like, I haven't seen you in 4 years, piss off. But it's cool to see the atmosphere at the bank be what it once was and how great it is. I love it.
And look, a rising tide raises all boats, right? So when MLS gets better, LAFC gets better. But when LAFC brings in players like Giorgio Chiellini and Gareth Bale, that makes the whole pie a little bit sweeter. So you're going to get a lot of people there that come out.
We've gone global.
Because they're hoping to catch a glimpse of the former captain of the Italian national team or the man who single-handedly dragged Wales to the World Cup this year. And oh, by the way, that bicycle kick in the Champions League final. They're both pretty good at soccer, you guys. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to lead to a lot of new faces. And you know what? That's great. Bring more people into the black and gold community. This is not just 22,000 strong. It is the millions.
And millions.
And we love you all. In the 71st minute, speaking of players we love, Franco Escobar coming into the match and Mahala Opoku. LAFC scores a lot of goals from their substitutes. Mahala Opoku and Franco Escobar coming in for Ryan Hollingshead and Moose. So Moose gets a standing O as he leaves. In the 72nd minute, I don't think I've seen a player reach the second deck of the west side of the stadium with the ball before Sebastian Ibeaga. Sebastian was just trying to clear it, and so he decided, you know what, if I'm going to clear it, I might as well give a little souvenir to a fan in the second deck. That was pretty cool. No, I haven't seen a ball actually reach it.
No souvenir, and at that point, that would have easily been a souvenir that a fan could have taken home because no security guard's going to like run quickly up there. But that fan was nice enough to throw it back down. I think he almost took the head off of a fan.
He definitely. Well, he almost
didn't clear
hit
the bleak. It didn't clear the stands.
No, but he almost. There was a player for SC Dallas right there too. He almost took him out. That was crazy. 73rd minute, Cheeky with excellent defending once again, and again. I thought Jesus David Murillo being fouled 76th minute when he went down from that foul. I said, okay, all right, if you guys want to keep fouling Murray, that's the wrong redwood to try to start chopping down.
Yeah, Murray, it turns out, is a pretty, pretty big dude.
He's thick with two C's.
Yeah, don't want to mess with him. 80th minute, you had Escobar to Cheeky. We had a shot above the crossbar. I thought Cheeky was going to score in another game. I know we all lost our minds when he scored his first goal. And then, interestingly enough, something you don't see very often, a yellow card on the FC Dallas bench. That is something you don't see day in and day out. I don't know exactly who it was assessed to. I don't think it was Nico. Because, like, the ref...
No, they would have announced it for Nico if it was.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been one of the assistant or one of the players, but naughty, naughty FC Ribeye Steak bench. Another yellow card, what, the third one of the game issued to FC Dallas?
Yeah, but don't worry, there'll be a fourth one or another yellow card right after.
Yeah, I believe in the 82nd minute, Ferreira... A nasty foul on Jose Cifuentes, that's fine. And then in the 83rd minute, Maxime Crepeau gets the first test in quite a while via FC Dallas. And then he subbed in. You got one goal-scoring kid, one goal-scoring youngster, subbing in for another young goal-scoring youngster. And the 86th minute, for those wrestling fans out there, Mahala, an RKO out of nowhere. A goal of the month candidate when he winded up. And I think I remember distinctly you turned around after that goal and you're like, Philly, I was yelling at Mahala. And the next thing you know, boom, there's a goal scored. He wound up from like from Accra. He was way out there.
Yeah.
And he let one fly. Didn't even think it had the trajectory or the power, but man, did he hit that with authority. Mahala with one of the prettiest goals that LAFC scored all season long, and for once I got my scoring prediction right. 3-1. Booyah, baby. Mahala subbing in for the Moose.
I was
killing it.
I was literally literally mid sentence yelling at Mahala Opoku. If you guys go back to his first couple, 3, 4, 5 touches, it seemed like he mishandled the ball on every single damn touch. In fact, on the touch that leads to this goal, the overlapping run has to go by him because he mishandles the touch. And I literally, Karen can vouch for this sitting right in front of me. Karen and I are talking about Mahala. And I'm like, dude, everything Mahala is doing right now is getting on my nerves. And now he's going to shoot from, oh my God, it went in. It was one of those, I remember, look, the thing that I can equate it to is watching Kobe back in the day when you would see, like, he would just be pissed off, right? The play wouldn't go well. He'd pull up from, like, 35 feet, and I'm as big of a Kobe guy as it gets. But I'd be like, Kobe, what are you? Great shot, Kobe. Knew it was going in the whole time. Nicely done. Beautiful 35-foot three-pointer. Well, from about 25, 30 yards out, Mahala absolutely rips one. And you're right, Philly. I didn't think it had the angle. I didn't think that the keeper, like, I thought it was right at the keeper at first. It had this beautiful tailing action up and to the left. What a shot by Mahala Opoku. And I loved how LAFC put it on their Twitter page. If you're not already fans of this kid after this match, you certainly were. I'm going to go with, if you were annoyed as hell with this kid for the first several minutes, then you absolutely loved him by the end of the match. Because I thought he was a little off when he first came in. And all he said to me was, hold my Sprite. I mean, it was an absolute cracker from about 25 yards out. It was great. It was just unreal that happened. Philly, my favorite moment of the match, though.
I mean, I think it was 22,000 people's favorite moment.
And what I loved is this. I'll say this about our Founders Club people that were there this last game. A lot of new faces. So when we saw number 4 start trotting over to the substitution area, I stand up, Eddie. And I had 25, 30 people turn around and look at me and they go, isn't his name Mahala? Like, who's Eddie? It was a little upsetting. Like, it was a little upsetting. But you know what? That's okay. Because in the 87th minute, Philly, the 22,000 at Bank of California Stadium, the chorus of the black and gold, after how long has it been now, Philly? Well over a year indeed.
I mean, ACL.
Oh, ow. Eddie Segura. Steady Eddie is back in black and gold, Philly. How great was it to see Eddie Segura come in along with Pancho Ginella for Murray and Sifu? Was it to see Eddie Segura check into the match for the first time in a long time?
I mean, you had everybody going nuts. Obviously, not everybody in Founders Club because, well, some you're right. I mean, I made the comment earlier on. It's like, yeah, you got to get used to the fact that we're going to see some faces that, you know, are going to be here today, gone tomorrow. But man, must have felt pretty good. He has worked his tail off. It seemed like it's been forever since we got to see Eddie in the lineup. I mean, we had him on the pod last season to kick things off. And then a few games after that, injured and hurt. And I mean, disappointing because he came in with such high expectations.
Right.
A Defender of the Year candidate. But man, it was good to see him back. He played, what, 3 or 4 minutes?
Yep.
But I think it was important. He got his blood flowing. He got a little bit of a run. It was fantastic. Going forward within the match, obviously we talked about that. Yeah, we had Pancho come in. 88th minute, Mahal and Chicho almost made magic again happen
right?
again.
Right?
But, you know, nothing goes on there. That was so darn close. He had 3 minutes of injury time. Really, I mean, there was nothing too much to talk about. But that's the end of the game. The whistle blows. LAFC up 3-1 on FC Ribeye Steak. And again, LAFC, that second half team, 24 goals scored in the second half, most in the league, and only 3 goals conceded. This is a completely different team over the course of the second 45 as opposed to the first 45. But man, was it a fun game and a great atmosphere on a hump day at Bank of California.
And I want to mention, we were outpossessed. And they passed just as well as we did. They fouled just as much as we did. This was a team that pushed LAFC for 90 full minutes. They absolutely pushed LAFC. FC Dallas played a solid game. And against many other opponents, they will likely win this game. Maybe 2-1, maybe 3-1, something like that. But against LAFC and the defensive stalwarts that we have on the back line, we're able to sub in Franco Escobar. Are you kidding me right now? We're able to sub in a hopefully now healthy Eddie Segura. Are you kidding me right now? This is such a deep back line. But Philly, dare I say, there was just as much fun after the match as there was in the 3-1 victory. Can we talk about the sha-la-sha-na-na after the game? Sha-na-la-la-la-la-la, sha-la-la. Sha-la-la, sha-na-na. Did I say sha-na-na? Sha-na-na-na is like a camp song. That's why I was thinking
like
about that one.
Band in like the 60s?
Possibly, yeah. The sha-la-la by Giorgio Chiellini, trying to get a little bit of help there. Was that Kellen Acosta?
It was Kellen Acosta, yes.
Trying to help him out there. Look, it didn't quite go as planned for Giorgio, but here's what I can tell you. He's got to buy a new suit now. He got doused with water and or body armor or whatever else they were throwing up and down at him there. Watching the former captain of the Azzurri lead the Sha-La-La might have been the highlight, if not for Mahala winning man of the match, if not for those four favorite letters in sports for us Philly. Eddie Segura leading the pump your fist and scream LAFC cheer as loud as you can. Eddie Segura leading it not once, not twice, but three times. Yeah, but they pushed him out there for those final two. Steady Eddie back at the bank, man. It's so good.
Yeah, no, good times are definitely there. And, you know, Chiellini being at the press conference, like the amount of silverware, the amount of success, the amount of stuff that guy's seen, he was such a humble dude. I remember when, like, he was asked during the press conference the question in regards to, like, you know, how do you see, like, people like Mamadou Fall, yada, yada, yada. And he made the comment about how, like, some of these defenders are so outstanding. He's like, I have no idea why they called me. Like, there was just such a humbleness about him. Obviously, like, you know, there was the language barrier, but like he was funny, he was sincere, he was endearing, and I mean he came to work. He's not expecting things to be handed to him on a silver platter because he's Giorgio Chiellini. Obviously he could demand that and he would probably get all of that because of his prowess, but he wants to be here, he wants to fight for this team, and he wants to help us win silverware. And man, it's so cool to have him. I don't think he was upset about his Armani suit. I mean, I'm sure he might have busted John McCarthy's chops about that because, well, I don't know if Big John was within his rights to douse Chiellini with liquids, but that's neither here nor there. Chiellini didn't seem to mind. So to me, it's all good, and LAFC was all good. Why don't we talk about our men of the match?
All right, my man of the match, Philly. We had, let's see, Mahala scored a great goal. Danny scored a great goal. Chicho, Vela, they were all great. But nope, my man of the match only played about 4 minutes of the match. I'm going with Steady Eddie. Just to see him back out there in black and gold, to see Bank of California Stadium get so amped, to see number four, Eddie Segura, back out there again. I know I'm taking the sentimental road instead of the statistical road on this one, but I am absolutely choosing for my man of the match. As much as I love Mahala, as much as I love Chicho, and Carlos had a hell of a game once again, I just, because he went out there, I got to give it to Steady Eddie.
Yeah, without a doubt, he wouldn't have gone out there if the game was still very tight. And again, you got to tip your hat off to one Chicho Arango for scoring his 20th goal as a member of LAFC. Chicho played the full 90. He had 5 shots, 4 of them on target. He had 1 chance created, and of course, the captain, Carlos Vela, playing 90 minutes as well, connecting with Chicho on his 1 goal. He too had 5 shots with 2 of them on target, but he created 5 chances, and he had the assist. So Carlos Vela and Jose Cifuentes are tied for the LAFC lead with assists. Chicho is knocking on the door of Carlos Vela. Again, he started off the season slow, but he's picked things up, scoring in 4 straight LAFC games. Steady Eddie, as much as we love him and as much as you said he was your man of the match, he wouldn't have been out there if the scoring line wasn't more than 3-1.
Sure.
And that's all because of Carlos and Chicho and, of course, the Moose and Mahala.
So when your man of the match is...
Oh, it was a combination of Chicho and Carlos. Sorry, I guess I didn't make that like evident enough. My bad.
So, okay. All right. Chicho and Carlos.
Chivella.
It's
man. Velarongo.
Velarongo. It's man of the match, not men of the match.
Carlos, then.
All right, there
5
you go.
Chances created.
Yep.
Done.
Look, he has become a different player since the announcement of the signing of Gareth Bale. Chicho Arango in a game, Philly, that you mentioned, I think, a more important statistic for Chicho. He played the full 90.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. to see Chicho not just go the full 90, but be fully effective the full 90. And I think that that says a lot in terms of where he might be on the pitch versus maybe where Brian might be on the pitch when Gareth Bale comes on the pitch. Philly, let's take a look at the halfway point. Week 17 in Major League Soccer is over, and LAFC, best in the West and best in MLS, 36 points on the season. Philly, LAFC, the only team averaging more than 2 points per match as we sit here at the halfway mark. Leading Major League Soccer with 35 goals scored. Leading the West by 5 points now over Austin and 7 points over Real Salt Lake. Leading the Supporter Shield race, because Austin is the next closest in the Supporter Shield race as well. And RSL is one of four teams sitting 7 points back. Philly, they're starting, and it's still way too early to talk about this, but they're starting to maybe be a little bit of a gap.
A little bit of a gap, yes, but you can't sleep on Austin. Austin can score goals. Obviously, the three back on LAFC, but the most important thing, though, is LAFC is killing it at home, 7-1-2. On the road, they're winning as well, 4-2-1, and that's the way to do things in this league. You win at home, and then you secure a point, a tie on the road. That's the way to really clinch some things, but you know, we have a game against Vancouver coming up on Saturday at BC Place, and that's not a place that's been very fortunate for us in terms of like victories and opportunities. And that just sets the stage for what will hopefully be the dismantling and demolishment of the Galaxy, who looked absolutely abysmal in their match against Minnesota United. It's amazing that they clawed their way back into the game 3-2, but so many red cards in that game. But LAFC has been such a fun team to watch this year, and we're celebrating, we're having good times, so many pinch me moments. Look, this is one of those things where you got to enjoy the ride. 2019 spoiled us, but man, this has been a lot more fun, dare I say, even more fun than we had in 2019.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Let's not forget, Philly, joining the 20-goal club. You talked about it with Chicho, right? There are three players previously in that club. Of course, Carlos Vela, Diego Rossi, and Adama Diamande. So there are now four players in history with 20 goals for LAFC. And I do want to mention that LAFC have now scored 12 goals from substitutes this season. That is a third of our production. A third of our production is coming from players who have substituted in on the match. I think that is amazing. July 2021 to now, it's just incredible to see Eddie Segura back out there on the pitch. And Philly, 200 episodes, man. 200 is now in the books. And you mentioned that I had a little bit of an announcement because Philly and I were chatting pre-episode. And I said, all right, when are we going to do Brian's song? What part of the episode? This and that. And Philly said, no. This is such a momentous occasion.
Yep.
That even though we promised the millions.
And millions.
That it would be on episode 200. That Philly said, no. It needs its own episode.
Yep.
Philly has proof that the song is done.
Yep,
he has proof.
Well, I've seen like the back of the paper.
The song is done.
He printed it out too, by the way.
I'm very excited to unveil it, but we'll be doing it next episode because Philly says it needs a little room to breathe. It needs its own space. And let me tell you, I'm just saying, Barry Manilow, get ready. Get ready because we're going to take you guys on another little 80s journey with a very new rendition of Brian's song next episode.
I think it's important that it gets its own episode, but I think it's also important that he plays in a game. So he didn't play in the game and he didn't feature in the 18. So even if you would have wanted to release it right now, I would have said, let's wait. Let's let him get back into a kit and onto the field. So
it's
all the more reason. But we want to make sure they come back for episode 201, which is just around the corner. LAFC takes on the Vancouver Whitecaps on Saturday at BC, standing for Bad Carpet Place in Vancouver, California. Canada. Whoa. Hey. Is there Vancouver in California?
I'll have to look that up.
I wouldn't know.
Find out next episode.
Population 5. I don't know.
Very polite people though, right? Vancouver, California. Look, you guys, thank you for being with us on this journey through 200 episodes. We are planning on doing it again in just a couple of short days. We'll be at King of Wings, the watch party The King of Wings watch party in beautiful Lawndale, California on Hawthorne Boulevard. Shockingly, walking distance from Nina's house. How great is that?
That really means crawling distance.
Right? My goodness. So look, if you guys want to come out, hang out with at King of Wings, that'll be a lot of fun on Saturday. Hang out with Philly and Scarf and
Vince and Connor.
Vince and Connor of 110 Football. It'll be fun, guys. We'll be down at King of Wings. But until then, you guys know how we like to end each and every one of our episodes.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.